Labor Day weekend once marked the time for presidential candidates to plunge headlong into the quadrennial race for the White House. Today's world of seemingly perpetual presidential politics is marked by a year or more of fundraising, just as a prelude to the first primaries and caucuses. The national party conventions have been reduced to minutely programmed four-day advertisements in which the only suspense is whether the balloons will drop on cue. And the last 2 months before Election Day seem like just part of the long continuum. Ron Elving is NPR senior Washington editor who perpetually watches the perpetual race for the presidency, and he's on the phone. Ron, it seems like each candidate has repeated his message 1,000 times to 1,000 audiences. What more is there to say and do in the next 2 months?
1,000 more repetitions to 1,000 more audiences. Lots more of the same, Leanne. We'll see ads from the candidates, ads from the parties, ads from the independent groups. And we've been talking to strategists for both parties this weekend, and what they say sounds a lot like the generals of the Western Front in the First World War. Keep fighting for the same ground, same trenches. Keep using the same weapons. Keep pressing the same tactics. And I don't think anything's going to change except the news. The news on the economy, the news from Iraq, the news from around the world. And we'll judge the candidates on the basis of how they deal with changing events and how they deal with each other.
Inevitably, there are going to be more negative ads and charges from both camps. And some harsh things were said at the Republican convention this past week, as we heard earlier in the voices in the news. What's the accuracy quotient of these claims?
Not high. And in some cases, I think below the belt. The speech people will talk about for years was the keynote on Wednesday night delivered by Democratic Senator Zell Miller of Georgia, who's the first person to have delivered a keynote address at both conventions in different years, of course. In 1992, he was with Bill Clinton, and he was bashing George Bush the first. In this case, of course, he's turned around. He's still a Democrat, but he is very much against John Kerry and very much in favor of the current George Bush. Everything in his speech was Kerry bashing. He was an angry mother eagle, personal tone, vengeful tone. And in the context of the Swift boat ads and the attacks on Senator Kerry's military service, I think people are already rubbed a little raw on some of this, and the convention continued to work that relentlessly all 4 nights. Now, probably the most outrageous statement that he made was the one that we heard a few minutes ago in your voices in the news, the one about Kerry requiring the United Nations to send American troops into battle and wanting Paris to decide what would be the United States' foreign policy or what would be our national defense policy. This suggestion that this is John Kerry's current position is absurd, as anyone who's ever heard John Kerry talk about any of these things knows. And it's apparently based on a remark that John Kerry made in 1972 to the Harvard Crimson. So there's that. There's also the suggestion that some of these weapons systems that we're using today in Iraq were things that John Kerry opposed existing. You can find votes in which various senators, and you can find moments at which when Dick Cheney or Donald Rumsfeld opposed certain kinds of weapon systems for various reasons at one time or another. It doesn't mean that any of them thought the United States should defend itself with spitballs. But that's exactly what Zell Miller said John Kerry's position was.
Are we hearing similar distortions from the Kerry campaign?
Well, that's what a lot of Republicans were telling us at the convention. They mentioned Al Sharpton's speech in Boston in particular. That's a speech off prime time that I doubt very many people saw. And you will find independent ads and other kinds of Bush bashing on the airwaves that stretches the facts beyond recognition in many cases. John Kerry himself gets pointed in describing the tax cuts as being for the rich and about the failure of the administration to look ahead in Iraq. And, of course, there's a lot of history of rough talk at the conventions of both parties. But there is usually a set of bounds that somehow, without ever being quite explicit, both parties remain within. I felt as though a lot of people's reaction to Zell Miller's speech on Wednesday night said that that speech stepped outside.
The debates are coming up, vice presidential and presidential, over the next 8 weeks. How do they manage to shake hands and smile at one another after they beat up on one another in this way?
On a practical level, they do it because they have to. If they don't do it, it looks bad. It hurts whoever looks the most resentful. At the same time, I think to be a successful politician at presidential height, you have to have a philosophical side, some element in your personality that allows you to achieve some distance, even at a moment of almost physical confrontation with your opponent.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Leanne.